chapter 4. John chapter number 4. This is a story of a man who had a great problem. His son was about to die. And I'm sure he had exhausted all his resources around town or wherever he was. And he lived in Capernaum, about 20 miles from Cana, where Jesus had performed the first miracle. And someone told him that Jesus was there. Someone told him that Jesus had come back. And this man was a non-believer. But when you're looking for hope, you have what they call crisis faith. You know, everyone can have crisis faith. So I just want to read to you about what happened here. And by way of application, I want you to see that there are some things you have to understand and some things that you have to do if you're going to reach people for Christ. If you want your church pews to fill up, if you want more people in your church, if you want to reach people who are hurting, who no one else cares for, then there's things that you got to see. You have to admit the first thing, that there is a problem. And we do. If you turn on the news, you see what's happening, you see everything around us that's going on in our country today, there's no one can deny that there is a great problem. And those problems kind of throw us into a crisis mode. Verse number 46 of John chapter 4. So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, or my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired of them the hour when he began to amend. They said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. That was the same time that Jesus said, Go thy way, thy son liveth. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for your great blessings. I thank you for giving me the privilege to stand here tonight in this pulpit. Thank you for Pastor Peace and this church family, Lord, continuing to help us, Lord, to do your will and your work. And I praise your name for what's been accomplished here today and the great music and the young people singing, and what a great blessing that is to see that. And I just pray tonight, Lord, that you'll help us to understand what one person, one individual, seeking one individual could do, and how that can manifest itself greatly for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So admit there's a problem. There was a problem here. That's easy to see. Man had a son. He was dying. And he didn't have any other help. And in fact, it says he was at the point of death. And if you've ever been around people who were dying or who was at the point of death, you know, they get that, what they call the death rattle, I guess. And I'm sure that this father had come to the end of his rope. He didn't have anywhere else to go. He had tried the physicians locally. He had tried everything possible, and there was no help for his son. And then someone who had heard that Jesus, this prophet, this miracle worker that had been in Cana once before and performed a miracle, they heard that he was there, so they went to their master. And they said, it was probably one of the household servants. And he said, Sir, there's this man Jesus in Cana. And Cana was about 20 miles from Capernaum. He said, and I believe that he might can help your son. Now I'm ad-libbing here. I'm not adding to the word of God. I can just kind of imagine what transpired. Because it says that when he came, it says the nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea and Galilee. And someone told him about Jesus, that maybe the promised Messiah or the prophet or the healer, that whoever had come, and that he was a great problem solver, and that they had heard or seen him perform a great miracle when he turned the water into the wine at the wedding feast. And so here this man, he don't have any other hope, so he is in crisis faith mode. And because of the crisis in his life, he moves forward. And he goes and he makes that 20-mile journey. And back then, it wasn't just getting in the car, driving, you know, there were obstacles in the way. Nevertheless, he gets there, and he gets there about the seventh hour, which is 7 o'clock in the evening. And then Jesus, as he approaches Jesus, he was persistent with his approach. He didn't let anything stop him. He wanted to make sure that Jesus understood what a great, great problem that he had at home. When you look at the world society, when you look at our society today, and you see everything our children and our young people are involved in. Hey, there are kids that are 10 years old. Now, I was a terrible young person. But there are kids that are 10 that know more than I did when I was 15 today. I mean, it's awful, the things that you see happening in our society. You cannot deny that there's a problem. But we go everywhere. We try everything except Jesus. We don't want to hook them up with Jesus. We'll go take them to the psychologist. The psychiatrist will take them here, take them there, and we'll try to find help. We'll put them in homes. But the fact is, Jesus Christ is the only one that can help them. Just like those kids in that youth prison, Jesus is the only one that can change their life. He's the only one that can give them the proper foundation to live on. Some problems become an avenue to take care of a greater problem. What was the young person's greater problem here? He was lost. He didn't know Jesus as his Savior. He had not yet believed that Jesus was the Messiah. So he was a lost person. His father was lost. He had a little bit of faith. Faith is the grain of a mustard seed, maybe. But that works, doesn't it? And it worked here. So here the problem, this problem was just an avenue for Jesus to take care of a greater problem in the life of that young man and in the lives of his family. His illness led to salvation. So when you look at a child, or maybe, is there a place here in Elizabeth City, Pastor, where when you ride down the street, you don't want to stay there very long? You know, there's a place like that. Well, can you imagine what it would be like if every person that went down that street and you focused on maybe one of those individuals and you begin to pray for that one young man? I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that God can put in people's hearts and minds where to go for help. And if you're praying for an individual, God could possibly bring that individual to you. You may have to get out and do a little bit more than just pray. You may have to go to them. But can you imagine what would happen if one of those young people is saved and he gets saved and then you disciple him and he goes back and then he reaches some of his people in that same street? And that's what you need to do. When you see problems, don't run from them. This man didn't run from a problem. He approached it. He took it with everything that he had. And when he heard about Jesus, man, he wouldn't let anything stop him. He headed in that direction, and he didn't let nothing turn him off of the trail. So he reached. When he got there, and by the way, it's always amazed me how Jesus shows up just at the right time, isn't it? And it always amazes me the people that he ministered to personally. You know, I tell people this all the time, and I believe this. I believe if Jesus had been here today, he'd have been doing something like we do. Because that's what he did when he was here, right? And I believe that. But he would be, his goal was, the goal of Jesus Christ was to see people saved. And the goal of this man was to get help for his son. But Jesus saw that physical help as a way to see that young man saved. Some problems are magnified because of obstacles. And you think of the things, there was 20 miles and there were throngs of people always around Jesus. How was this man going to approach Jesus? I mean, surely he had to know that all those people were there. Could he get to him? Could he really get up close enough to speak to him? But when the problem that you see affects your heart and your emotions, then nothing will stop you. You know, you got a son or a daughter, grandchild, that's away from the Lord, or they're not saved. That's a great problem, isn't it? Jesus can fix that. But you have to go to him. And you have to be aware that he can take care of it. You have to believe, this man believed that Jesus could do something. I don't really know how he was thinking, but I just know for him to make that journey and try, he was willing to try anything, even if it was a last-ditch effort, he was trying his best to get help for his son. When you make the problem that you see in our society when you make it your own. Just like this father made his son's problem, made it his problem, then help was there. And the man got help for his son. Nothing will stop you. When you see people lost, if you're a Christian and you love God and you know what Jesus did for you at the cross, nothing's going to stop you from being a witness for Christ. Nothing will stop you. When I see a young person, and I try to look through the problems that they have. I try to look through the difficulties. I hear people say this all the time, Pastor. Well, I just don't know what happened to little Johnny. I don't know what happened to Susie. Well, I do. They're lost. Natural people do what natural people do. Lost people do what lost people do. Don't let anything they do surprise you. Nothing they do surprises me. Because if it surprises you, it might scare you. And then you might not try to help them as you should. Now, I'm preaching to you about my heart tonight. I could have preached another message and maybe made you feel real good, but I hope that some of you get the point here that if one person, one individual will see the problem in one individual's life, you can help change that problem, whether it be a youth or an adult. I was in youth prison preaching about 6 years ago. And we have people saved all the time. We had six or seven last Sunday when I was there. I mean, God just really blessed. And those kids are really hungry. They're looking for something. It's not like adult population prisons where, you know, you can feel some of these kids really change. So I was there and I was preaching away, and this young man named Casey Stoddard got saved. And this man was a level 8 student. He was maximum security for that facility. And I knew he had all kind of problems, but I tried to see, and this is what I try to do with everyone that we reach out to, I try to see what beyond that. See, not what they are today, but what they can be through the power of Jesus Christ. And that's how we need to approach the lost people. Don't expect them to look like you and act like you and spit like you do. Don't expect that. They're not going to do that. And that will hinder you from reaching them if you expect that out of them. It will. They're lost. Exactly. They do what lost people do. Amen. So this young man, he came to me and he came up and he got saved. And for 9 months, he was in every Bible study, every discipleship class, every church service, going through his Bible, asking questions. I mean, he was on fire. And when he got out of there, I didn't know what happened to him until a few months later, Pastor. And he was going to Landmark Baptist College in Haines City, Florida. Amen. He had got out and he had enrolled in college. And I had told him, that was before I started our school. And I told him about some of the schools locally. And I suggest he lived down that way. And I told him to check that out. But I thought, you know, sometimes you hear so many questions. Sometimes you say, well, I wonder. But nevertheless, he started the school. Well, listen, that's not the end of the story. This is what's wonderful. And I'll get through my message. And I won't be much longer, I promise. But I got to tell you this. 3 years ago, I was taking my son, I met him in Chicago. He was leaving for Iraq. He was going to be there a year, and he was pulling, this when they were pulling down the troops. And his job, he drives one of these big HEP trucks. And his job was to pull munitions, fuel, and tanks back out of that country. It was a very dangerous job. Several of the vehicles were blown up, and not one time did anything touch him. He was in small arms fire once. Truck in front of him hit a bomb once, but his truck was always, God kept it safe. Thank God. Thank the Lord. And you know, I was up in Chicago. I didn't know anybody. I'd only been up that way once many years ago. I preached in a church in a little place called Aurora, and I didn't know anything about that area. And I was just, you know, I was up there, and my wife and I, we were kind of saddened that Daniel was having to leave. His wife and his little baby was there, and we met him up there, you know, to tell him bye and spend the last couple days with him. And on Sunday morning, I looked in the phone book, and normally I'm very picky about where I go to church if I'm somewhere. But that morning, my heart was so heavy, Pastor. I looked and I saw something that said Baptist Church, and it was right not far. I couldn't get lost, you know, maybe. So I said, that's where we're going. And I got there and I pulled up in the parking lot, And the pastor greets us, and it's an independent Baptist church, thank God. And he comes out, and he said, and I tell him, you know, we're there. Daniel, he's uniformed, and he got in, and he had all his men. It was a pretty big church, about 400 or 500. He had his men come down and pray over Daniel. Just such a great blessing, just trying to encourage us. But listen to me. This is amazing. I show you how God encourages you and why you ought to reach these people. Because he says, we have a guest speaker today. I said, oh, no, I wasn't ready to preach. I wasn't. Most of the time, I'm ready. And he said, his name is Casey Stoddard. Still sends chills all over me.
Yes, sir.
In a city of 3 million people.
Yes, sir.
I choose a church. I thought I chose it. God actually had my eyes go to that church. And then I was saddened, and then God put me up there for that boy to come and encourage my wife and I. He was starting a youth revival in that church and in that city. And it was one of those kids from that youth prison. That's just a tremendous thing. And if I hadn't saw what he could be, I would have never been able to reach him for Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying there? Don't look at people. You might have a neighbor. You might have an adult, a neighbor or a family member that's been wayward for years and years. Don't ever look past what Jesus could possibly do for them. I had a pastor in Spartanburg, Brother Dennis Carter. He always told me, as long as there's breath, there's hope. And I believe that. And as long as you're promoting Jesus Christ to those people, God can change their life. He can do it. He had to admit there was a problem. That crisis faith made him admit to the problem. The crisis faith made him be a persistent, made his approach persistent. He said in verse 49, he didn't give up. He said, sir, come down or my child die. Jesus says in verse 48, then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And I believe he was referring to all the Galileans, to the people there. But he was talking to him, but he was fair. He said, you hear about these miracles, and then you come and you want to see, you know. And that man's thinking, well, why are we talking? My son's dying. He's thought of it. So he probably interrupts a little bit and says, sir, come down or my child die. He wanted Jesus to help him. And that crisis faith turned to a confident faith in just a few minutes. You be a persistent in your approach to these people. You always keep going forward. Keep moving forward. Don't ever give up. Realize, always remember, Jesus can change anything and anyone. And sometimes we ask, and once is not enough. How many times? I know people who will pray for people, and then they'll pray once or twice, and that's all you hear from them. And we prayed for one man in Spartanburg for 12 years, and one day he came through the back doors of the church. I mean, shocked everybody. It's kind of like that time Peter went to the door knocking. You know, they was in there praying Peter would be released. And Peter come to the door and they all fell out. They didn't know what to do. But that's what happens. You be persistent. And this man's continual pleading proved his sincerity. He never gave up. He said, sir, come down or my child die. And then the confident faith. I love verse 50. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Listen to this. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. That's totally unnatural, isn't it? Now you think about it. Here's a man that this man has never spoken to before. All he's heard is something about him. But when Jesus spoke, Pastor, when the authority of the word of God came out, this man, indeed, if he had said that to me, I would have said, no, you got to go with me. He don't understand, he's going to die. I need you to come with me. I need you to help me with this problem. This man just said, the Bible says, he turned and he went his way. He believed the word of God. This book, you know what? This is filled with promises for you. Someone once said there's 32,000 promises in the word of God. I think I heard Lee Robertson say that many years ago. 32,000 promises in the word. Get you one and claim it. For your promise, and let God do something special in someone's life that you're praying for. Man, he believed the word of God. I love it. It said that was a cut, and then his faith was confident, or he wouldn't have turned and he went his way. And in verse 51, it says, and he was now going down. His servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. He said, yeah. Well, when did it happen? That's not King James. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. They said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him, and he knew that that was the same hour. I mean, he knew that God had performed a miracle. You know, we got to believe. This is all we have, folks. Yes, Faith Baptist Church, this is all you have. Amen. This is it. We believe the word of God. We have to believe that this Bible is true. We believe that God can do exactly as he says he will do. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I believe Acts 4:12. I believe that that Jesus Christ is the only way. I believe that Jesus, the gospel, brings salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. This is the most, I said this morning, this is the greatest exposition of God's power when you give the gospel and someone accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It provides direction for our life, just like it did this young man. I mean, Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth. He just did an about face and headed out. He was confident. Listen, here's something I want to read to you. This is always made, and I didn't see this till this couple years ago. I saw this verse. I noticed this. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to mend. They said unto him, yesterday. Yesterday. Meaning, now if I thought my son was dying, you could not. There's nobody in here could stop except maybe him with an assault rifle. There's nobody in here could stop me from getting back to my son. Especially after someone had told me he's all right. I want to go see. This man had so much confidence in the word of God that he stopped and spent the night. He rested. He probably rushed to get there. He fought off the throngs of people. He got to Jesus. Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth. And he went and found him a place to stay. And because he says, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. I mean, I believe in the power of God's word. God's word provides protection. And it also is a confirmed faith. There's always proof. Always proof. When Jesus comes by. Is there proof in your life that he came to you one day? There was proof here. It says in verse 53, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Man, the day before things looked pretty drear, pretty bad. Looked like all was lost. Looked like he was going to lose his son. And then the next day he comes back home. There's his son. I like to imagine things. And don't think I'm crazy. I'm really not. But I love to imagine when I paint word pictures when I read the Bible sometime, Pastor. And I thought about this scripture, and I thought about, could you imagine that father, he gets back home, and he walks in, and he opens the door, or pulls the curtain back, whatever, I don't know. And there sits his son in the chair. Big smile on his face. Can you imagine? Amen. Can you just imagine what went through that man's, how grateful and happy he was. And I'm telling you, I don't know whether he believed up until that point that Jesus was the Messiah, but at that moment he believed, because it says he did. He believed, and his whole house, and once he told the story, and I'm sure that he set his son, his wife, and the household servants down, and he began to explain to them that how he had come up on, how he, when he got to Jesus, and Jesus had told him, thy son liveth, and he said, I just felt secure. I didn't even have to worry about him coming with me. He just spoke it, and it happened.
Amen.
And can you imagine what took place that day? Then the whole house believed, the Bible said. I mean, they all believed. Everybody believed. Hey, listen, can I tell you this? You know how it started? When one man, listen to me very carefully, if you don't get anything else I said, when one man decided that he would take that young man's problem and go to Jesus on his behalf. In other words, that he would inject Jesus Christ into the problem. And that's when things begin to change. That's when things begin to look up. And folks, can I tell you this? That's when it will look up for you and for your family and for the hundreds and thousands of teenagers that are in this area that need Jesus Christ. I hope that you'll be that one that goes to reach the one. Casey Stoddard, that boy I told you about, he goes all over the country. He's a youth pastor in Crystal River, Florida. And he goes out and he preaches youth revivals. I mean, can you imagine that? Hey, can I tell you something even better than that? You have a part in everything he does too. Because you helped me to go. Would you bow your heads?